Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome back, friends. I'm so excited for you to be here with us for the next episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And I am so pumped today to have my guest, Kristen Knowles, with us. She is just doing amazing things. She is a 12 times award-winning leadership expert with over a decade of experience working with people and culture. And for the last 10 years, she has built and led multiple coaching and leadership programs for top companies worldwide. She has multiple passions. We're going to get into that, but you know, some of her top passions are just helping leaders live and lead from their purpose. So Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and be with you all.
Yeah. So you and I connected recently, and I just thought it was so interesting because a lot of what you're doing, just it meshes so well into, you know, my goal for, you know, all the things, the platform of all the things and what we're doing here with the podcast, just helping people to live with purpose mm-hmm. and really, you know, find that purpose. But starting off, kind of give us a little bit of where you are right now. Like, what does your life look like today? Where are you in your parenting journey? Kind of fill us in and give us a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's such a big question, especially in the midst of COVID, right? Because if you had asked me this last year, my parenting journey and my life looked so different. It's completely different from 1 year to, you know, from last year to where we are today. But right now, you know, my day-to-day life is now my husband and I both work in our home together. So it is, hey, who's going to use the office? Or I've got a call, right? So we're tag teaming with each other. And thank goodness we have like shared calendars, right? Because then we can know, okay, what's happening here? And so a lot of what my day is like getting to meet with incredible people like you, and then doing a lot of coaching with clients that I have, and running our Brave Leadership program virtually, and then parenting our 5-year-old daughter. So that's a big part of what it looks like. She just started kindergarten. So it was a big thing of even navigating what is kindergarten going to look like this year. Completely changed our plans. So that's a big thing. So I think that's what our day-to-day looks like, is us trying to navigate, you know, this new virtual world and everyone being so on top of each other in each other's space and making sure that she has a great education. On top of that, the other thing we're doing is we're also in the process of adopting our second child. So then there's tons of paperwork that we're also, I feel like, trying to juggle.
Wow.
But this time last year, I was traveling constantly. About every couple of weeks, I was on the road and I was flying somewhere. And my daughter even was just, I would get notes and calls from her school if I was gone more than 3 days, and they would be like, hey, Eden's just having a rough day. I think she's a little down. And I started to notice, you know, like, hey, this is like when she doesn't see me for several days in a row, it's a big deal. It's affecting her. And so I knew something was going to have mm-hmm. to shift anyway. And then, wow, like here we are. It shifted for me. This kind of world did that. But yeah, that's what our day looks like.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I think a lot of people who I've talked to, definitely COVID has been, you know, life-changing for all of us. But many people that I've talked to who especially have had shifts in the way that they show up for work and the way that their family time and space has changed has not necessarily been a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know for me, many years, you know, we're on year 3 now that I stepped away from teaching outside of the home and I started homeschooling my 3. And my best friend had already been doing this for many years. And she said to me, she said, you know, it's going to feel very different. It's going to feel really weird because you're not like in the, your brain still thinks that you have to do all the things that you have always done. But now you actually have a little bit of space to be able to kind of carve it out and do things differently. And that took us some adjusting. And I think that for COVID time, it's really even a little bit more problematic because everybody's kind of like, it's almost like double dutch. Did you ever like do jump rope like double dutch or, you know, like you're waiting, like the two people are like, and you're just like waiting to get back in. You're like waiting to jump in. And I kind of feel like we're kind of like that in some ways because we just don't know, like, okay, is everything going to start up again more normally? Or now it's like we're going into a winter season where, you know, I don't know where you are in terms of your numbers, but locally our numbers have jumped back up. So now it's like, okay, well, things are going to close back up again. So it is tricky. But my kids too, even, you know, I think it doesn't matter how old they are, I could be home all day with them and until later in the evening where, you know, maybe they've had their downtime, they've had a little technology time, and I'm doing what I'm doing. And then they'll go, I just really want to spend some time with you. I need to snuggle. We haven't had any time. I'm like, we've been in the same house all night, you know? Like, what do you mean? You know, but it's just being like when their love tank needs to be filled, that's when they notice it's empty and then they demand that. Let's talk a little bit about the adoption journey for you because I've always had a heart for adoption. You say you're filling out paperwork for your next child. Are you, have you adopted internationally or domestically, or what was that journey for you?
Yes, so we adopted internationally, and we're doing international again this time.
Very interesting. I have a friend who did both. She actually adopted domestically, and then they just recently, right before COVID, they actually adopted two little girls from down in Colombia. So that's and they actually just got back when everything shut down. So they almost were trapped down there, which would have been very, very difficult financially and just emotionally. So, well, that is exciting. That is exciting. How does your little girl feel about getting a sibling? She
Oh, she's
excited?
so excited. And to the point to where it's almost too much. Like she's like shaming us for it taking as long as what it is. She's very anxious and eager to have a sister, is what she says. Like, I just really want a sister. I want a sibling. And she'll say to us, and we'll go put her down in bed for night. She's like, go work on the paperwork. Go work on bringing go for my sister. Go do that. I'm like, so you know, she's like, it's taking so long. So we talk a lot, and we talk a lot about her journey. So I think it's actually been helpful. It's hard for her, but it's been helpful for her to almost see what was the journey like for her, because we talk about, you know, this is what we had to do when we were bringing you home, is took a lot of time and we had to do this. And I also felt that way, you know, and I was really just, I want our little girl. It's like, that's how I felt. And so it's been neat to kind of bring her through this journey so that she kind of has an idea of what it looked like for her and her story. So yeah.
Well, and that's neat that she's old enough to understand that. And I think that's what's so interesting. Every child has their own birth story. You know, like my three were, you know, every time I had a new baby, like the journey was different and never of them looked the same. But when my boys were older, they knew that sister was coming. And so that we were able to have those conversations. Whereas when, you know, my second one came along, my oldest was only two. So he really was, you know, oblivious, other than I don't even think he noticed that I had anything under my shirt. You know, I mean, Thomas the Train, that's what we were doing. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you talk about with your business that you have a passion for helping people find their purpose and, you know, find that why. And I have kind of found recently that when you talk to people about their why, oftentimes it's, you know, what helped, hurt, haunted, or hyped them. Like, you know, that's their why. And so could you talk a little bit about, you know, your history in terms of how it got you to the place that you're at now and why you feel so passionate about what you do.
Yeah, so there's so many different things that I think got me to where I am. There's so many little facets of my story that now I've kind of all come together and I see it. Going way, way back in my journey, this was when I was 18 years old and I was very hurt and I suffered with a lot of depression and just felt like honestly there was really no purpose or hope in my life. That was kind of just how I looked at it. And I ended up getting married very young at like 19 because I felt like, well, there was nothing else for me and this is just what I have to do. If I ever want to be married, this is my chance. And it was a really unhealthy situation. It was really unhealthy for both people involved. And kind of a, it turned abusive and it just became, we were really unhealthy and really hurting each other. And coming out of that, I got divorced at 21 and I went on this journey of just healing and realizing like the truth of my life that I had a purpose and I had a future and I had a hope and there was so much more available and just healing so many of my past things. So I went on this like 2 year journey of that. And that I think sparked me to really be passionate about helping people develop and heal their own past journeys, their own hurts, and to use that to actually catalyst into part of their purpose, right? Into the things that they were called to help other people do, which I think, like you were saying, is so often tied to that. And then from there, I ended up in going back to school ended up falling into what I say, like HR and leadership development, and had the opportunity to grow leadership programs from the ground up. And then ended up working for some major organizations globally and building leadership programs. And I saw these, very specific things that would happen where some leaders would just have huge transformation going through these leadership programs. Their teams would just excel and succeed, and others, they didn't. Their teams oftentimes felt disengaged. They sometimes were even resentful towards their leader. And then when digging further, I started to see so many of these like senior executive leaders, and then you find out they're getting divorced, right? Or they don't even know their children. They hardly have a relationship with them. They're gone all the time. They don't really have life outside of work. And it's all about getting to this level. And they were miserable in a lot of ways. And then their teams were miserable. And so I went on this journey of kind of deep diving into, okay, what's the difference? What makes the difference between leaders who are transforming and really growing and these other leaders? And they're, it seems like they look great on paper, but then you dig in deeper and they're really unfulfilled and miserable and their relationships are suffering, their teams are suffering. And it was understanding, like going back to my own journey of, okay, people who are connected to a deeper why, the leaders who they were doing this because they knew what they were made to do. It wasn't about the job title. They could have left and gone to do something else, but they knew that their role was XYZ, right? They had a purpose kind of behind how they led their teams and the work that they did and how they showed up. And then the other part was them willing to do that internal work, the kind of work that I have been on this journey now. I don't say that I did that and got done with it in 2 years. I'm on a lifelong journey of honestly digging in deep, doing inner work, finding the other, okay, that's a new place I've got to heal. That's a new place I've got to, kind of work through and get into a better place. And oh, I get triggered in this area so that I'm not bringing my baggage into anything that I do. So I don't bring baggage into my next relationship or into my next job or the next team that I lead. And so leaders who are willing to do that internal self-leadership work and really develop from the inside out and then also connected to purpose, those are the ones who we saw really thriving, their teams are thriving. And then oftentimes we found out, their marriages were healthy, right? They knew how to set healthy boundaries and go home and see their kids and show up for them in those ways. And had that balance oftentimes that you really strive for. So that was where I kind of ended up in becoming really passionate about creating the work that we do with Brave Leaders Group of creating leadership programs for companies and also for individuals just to go through so that they really transform from the inside out, ground in their purpose, and then live and lead from that place.
It's beautiful. It's so powerful, and I think you're right on the money because I was just talking the other day to a friend of mine on his podcast, and we were talking about the platform that I use in terms of all the things that all of us carry, you know. And it doesn't matter if we're someone who's a CEO of a major corporation, or you're someone who is, you know, showing up for a minimum wage shift. Like, the things that we carry are, we're all dealing with it. But I do think that what you're talking about in terms of when a leader is someone who's able to be authentic and vulnerable with their people, so that their people can relate to them. Not that they disrespect them, or they don't respect them as, you know, like, you're the person who's in charge here, but just to say, like, I get it, you know. And unfortunately, you know, I've heard, especially during Corona time, you know, there's some leaders that have just, like, shown up in mighty powerful ways for their people. And there's other leaders who have just, like, they haven't even reached out. They haven't even asked their people, like, how is your family? Has anybody been ill? Have you lost anybody? You know, is everybody healthy in your home? Or, you know, and I just think, you know, that just causes such a lack of respect by the people who are led by that leader, because they know that they're not valued, you know. And they're it's sad. It's a sad place. So moving forward, what do you think? How do you feel that your life has changed with doing what you're doing, you know, now that you are a parent? Does it look different, with what you know, with what you were doing with people in terms of leadership before you had a family? And do you cover that differently in your trainings now that you kind of have a little bit more understanding of having to balance that aspect
Oh,
yourself?
absolutely. So, you know, I will I always admit, like, I was a 100% workaholic prior to having kids. I mean, I would always joke with, like, my husband of, like, oh, there's 24 usable hours in every day. Like, that is what we've got, you know, and every single second is planned out with something, right? There's no waste. There's no downtime. I honestly was working, and he even met me this way. So I don't know why I was ever surprised. When he first met me, I was working like 6, 7 days a week, like 60 plus hours all the time. And that's just kind of the pace that I lived my life. And I'm very driven. I'm a, you know, high achiever. If you do Enneagram, I'm like a 3 on it. But I also am very intentional. So I never was one of these workaholics that kind of left people behind. I also was working 60 hours, but was very involved in my community, and I volunteered and invested in my friendships really well and made date nights, all of that. So I was just tired. Like, let's just be honest. I was very tired. And then all of a sudden, like, bringing our daughter home, first of all, when you are adopting, and I think it's probably similar when you're bringing home a newborn baby, like, your world has to slow down. You are bonding, you are making space for them and their, like, you know, healing journey. Like, bringing her home was traumatic for her because we're strangers who are bringing you into a whole new environment. And so we had to just slow everything down into this now is about her. When we first brought her home, I actually was still working in corporate. And that was, like, I think the first year I had ever gotten, like, a meets expectations, you know, like, you're 3 on my, like, review. And I remember being, like, devastated, like, what? I had never just met expectations. And I have always been, like, you know, like, 5, let's go above and beyond. And I realized it's like, well, that's actually a good thing because I mean, that meant I met the expectations of my job, but that meant that my most of that addition, like, my focus and where I was going above and beyond was with her at home and making sure that she was actually set up to thrive. And that was most important. And that needed to be most important, especially in that first year and first couple of years of this is where the majority of my attention needs to go. It's not on building my career, right? And so that was, I think, a huge shift for me. And now, in what I do with our program, there's so we have like 6 pillars we go through in the leadership program. And one of them is about relationships and connections. And we spend a lot of time, most of the clients I work with are parents and family. And so we spend a lot of time, I have them do like an audit of their relationships in their personal life, their inner circle, like their spouse, their children, their parents, siblings, right? Or they kind of name who are their inner circle, the closest people, and I make them do an audit. And there's actually a survey we'll even send to like spouses and stuff, and just kind of a, hey, this is how you're showing up and how people are experiencing you. And we talk a lot about their purpose in that area of their life and how that will actually fuel them into being successful in their careers. And there's a lot of research around that, but we spend a lot of time about how balance, we talk about balance, that's one of the other pillars. And we say, there are going to be times like the example I gave when we brought our daughter home, where this part of your life comes up as the top priority and other things shift down. It doesn't mean we don't work on them. It doesn't mean we don't invest in that time, but it may not be where it gets our, again, that above and beyond 110%. Instead, it might be that we're meeting expectations there. But then in this part where it needs extra attention in our life, that's going to be where we're really intentional and we're saying no to other things so that we can be really focused. And things will continue to move up and down. And so you just kind of have to look and see when does your family need extra time, right? And that we've got to come together here. And when are the times where you know you're going after a big project or something, an opportunity at work, and you have to communicate with your family, hey, I may not be around as much for the next couple of months. We have a big project. Can you all give me some grace in this area? Well, if I've invested in those relationships, they're going to give me the grace to be like, yeah, absolutely. And it might just be a couple of months where we don't have you around as much, or it might not be, and that's okay, right? Because we have a good foundation in that area and they know that they're loved and they're valued. And so we talked just a lot about kind of the nuance of and the fluidity that has to come when you are juggling all of those things. But again, you're living it from purpose.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I know I was having this conversation with my husband just the other day, and we were talking about the balance and in trying to, you know, carve out time. And so like, for example, like Tuesdays and Thursdays I've carved out for podcasting. So those are the days where, you know, I'm talking to guests or I'm editing, I'm uploading those types of things, because I love the podcast. I love to talk to people. So, but what can happen is that bleed over effect, you know, is like kind of like watercolor. Sometimes it's beautiful when things bleed over and you see how they intertwine. And other times it just comes a murky, messy, nasty picture that nobody wants to hang anywhere because it's not pretty, you know? And so I think that balance is so important. But, and so, you know, we've had those conversations and my kids are older, so they're not, you know, little toddlers. And, you know, I know it's harder, especially for, you know, homeschool families when they have little ones. But, you know, my kids are getting to the point where I also want them to have their own, I want them to have that love of learning and that desire to, I really want to work on this. So trying to talk them through, like, I can't be with you every second that you're working on your math. Like, it's not healthy. I mean, I could sit there and micromanage you, but it's not healthy for you to not have those problem solving skills. Not that I'm not going to be here, but like for today, I'm going to be talking to, you know, a guest. So I'm going to need you to work on this and you're going to have to figure that out. And then you and I can regroup later and talk about what worked and what didn't work or if there's questions. But so that's been a balance, because before, you know, I stayed home, I would go to school and my kids were where they were. And then I had that time to just, you know, crunch out what I needed to do. And when I clocked out and came home, then I showed up for them. And so there were very clear delineated, you know, timestamps that made it clear. But when you're home, and I think that this also, you know, is very difficult for people with COVID who are working from home that never work from home, that it's just that bleed over, you know, can make it hard. And then the kids think, you know, oh, mom and dad are always on their phone when maybe they're checking an email because it just came through because of something important. And so it is really, really difficult. It is a balance, but I like to call it a wrecking ball effect too, because quite frankly, when I'm talking about, you know, my platform of leadership with people, it's that, you know, that wrecking ball, you drop it between any of the pillars, you know, and I have six pillars too. It stands for the things that we deal with: our time, our health, our interactions, saying no and setting boundaries, where you want to go and how you want to grow, and service to self and others. And if you put that, you put that little wrecking ball right between interactions and saying no and boundaries, it just starts swinging and everything on either side comes tumbling down. You know, it's not, you know, things are, it's really hard to keep things from being affected. So I love what you're doing with leadership because I think it's so needed and it just benefits everybody. You know, the trickle down effect is just really, really powerful. So what are some other passions that you have in areas of your life that you try to focus on to get that balance when you're not working? What are some
It's a
things that you do?
great question. Other things I'm passionate about. So I love traveling and wine tasting, and I'm kind of a foodie. So I love everything around that. So this year has been very difficult where, we're having to no longer do a lot of those things, so they look differently. But that's definitely one of the big passions that I have. But also, I'm not passionate about this. It's funny because I talk about this in my work, but I'm not passionate about this, but I work out. I made a commitment to myself a couple of years ago that I would work out at minimum 3 days a week. And I've kept that all that time. And then this year I decided, kind of in the midst of COVID and quarantine, it was, I really am going to focus on my health and I'm going to work out and prioritize that 5 days a week. And that was a big shift, but I've been able to keep it. And I'm not, it's funny because I tell people, I'm like, I hate working out. Like, I do not enjoy it. I am not this fitness person who is, posting things about how much I'm like, I'm not, I don't love it at all, but I have a vision, a goal for what I want my health to be, tomorrow and today, but also, 50 years from now. And so I'm like, if I don't prioritize that now, I'm not going to have that later. So I do spend a lot of time in that area. But I would say another passionate area of mine, which does bleed, I love the watercolor analogy, is just personal development. I'm always reading and listening to personal or leadership or self-development books or podcasts. That's where I spend a lot of my time that I do. And then otherwise, just being outside. We do a lot of family stuff and a lot of family time, and it's been a slower pace this year, but we just love being outside and going on walks or hikes or picnics and just kind of exploring. So I would say those are kind of the main things that I've really that take up my time outside of work.
Yeah, that health component is so powerful because, you know, when you were talking before about before you were a mom and how your work was just like, you know, ramped up in terms of what you were doing, I know for me, that's an area that I struggle with because if I have all these things, you know, that I'm doing, and that's an area that I struggle with. And when you talk about using the things that you struggle with to help other people, I think it's really sometimes I think people think that until you have an area completely mastered, that you can't really speak about those things. You know, it's almost like taboo. And I think that that's like the opposite. You know, I think if you're doing great, you know, then you know, and then you but you still have areas that you're struggling with, then you know, people still need to hear that because that makes you relatable. And you know, I know just last week I was laid up. Like I had, you know, I struggle with diverticulitis. I was laid up for over 4 days. And even just yesterday, I was just feeling like 95%. But what makes me remember is I don't prioritize that health and I'm not well, I will not be able to do what I'm being called to do well. Like I might be able to do it, you know, as much as I can, but I'm not going to be able to do it well. And so that's, I think we have to remember, and my mom is constantly reminding me that you know, your body is going to unplug and reset if you don't, and then you're not going to be in control, and then you're going to have a lot of those plates that you want to keep spinning that are literally going to fall because your body is going to, you know, give out on you in different ways. So I think that's really powerful. I too am not a big exercise lover. I would rather go for walks or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think too, if you could just do what, you know, what feels good for you in terms of that health, you know, but I think our culture makes it seem like unless you're doing a boot camp, you know, you're like a failure, you know? And I'm like, I hate burpees. I refuse to do them because my knees are like, what are you doing to us? You know? But so I think as long as you're healthy, and especially with children too, you know, I'm sure that you're seeing that too, like with your daughter, that they pick up on so many things. And, you know, So have you had experiences like that with her in terms of health where you've noticed and you've been like, wow, I didn't realize she was picking up on everything.
I think that's, like you said, kids in general, about every area. So we prioritize health pretty strongly in our house. So for that area, she's almost a bigger advocate of it than I am. I mean, she will straight up tell people, my dad, who doesn't really eat a whole lot of vegetables, you know, he's very Southern. And so even his like vegetables are very, you know, like kind of Southern and not really healthy a lot of times, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to have green bean casserole. And you're like, that's not really, you're taking away half the health. So she'll just say to him all the time, like, you need to eat your veggies. Have you had your veggies today? Like, are you, you know, this is really good for you. You should try it. So she's really good about that. And she's actually, since being at home and having to work out at home so much, she's been like, oh, okay, I need to exercise. So she likes to kind of half the time play along and try and do it with me. But I think the biggest area is where she's kind of done that as far as health. So I will tell you, you're getting like all of the inside stuff, Kristen. all the things.
You know, that's what this is all about. Keep going.
I try to prioritize health in every area, but my guilty pleasure, I know it's horrible for me, can't help it, is I love Dr. Pepper. Like I am. If I can say that I have an addiction, it is I want one Dr. Pepper a day, and I love it. Like, it is something I look forward to all day long. And I do, I'm like, you know, it's funny, when kind of my, you know, as you get older, your body changes. And I was talking to someone about like, why can't I lose this like weight here? And they were like, probably just got to cut out the soda. I was like, I don't think it's worth it. I think I'm just going to have to learn to live.
You're like, I'd rather cut you out of my life for saying that. How dare you?
But anyway, so she's now at the age where she notices that I go and get, I have a Dr. Pepper. Plus she's at home with me half the time, you know, especially over this year, when we were all at, you know, at home, and she's like, well, I want a soda too. When do I get a soda? And it's like, oh, okay. You're like really calling me out on the things. Cause if I'm telling you, it's not really good for you, we shouldn't have soda, you know? And she's like, well, so is that like, is that an adult drink? Is that something I get to have, you know, cause we talk about wine and adult drinks. So, and it's a hard balance of like, okay, how do I see this? What does that mean? How do I live authentically? And how do I, you know, represent this? Like, yeah. How do I lead her in this area? It's like, man, you're exposing all the places, you know?
It is hard. Very hard. I've had to get to a point to, you know, my daughter's older now and she's 10, although she looks like she's, you know, 12 or 13. And I always struggled with body issues myself. I developed way before my friends did. And that was really difficult because everybody else is wearing these really cute little outfits that they could buy, you know, and I had to be like, you know, buying things in the, you know, the more womanly section. And it was hard. And so, you know, but she and I have had these discussions about, you know, you want to eat what makes your body feel good, not what makes your brain feel good, but what your body feels good. And so there's times like the other night, you know, my husband had gotten ice cream and they were like, Mom, are you going to have, and I said, no, I really, you know, that doesn't sound good. And I just know I'm not going to feel good after I eat that. And I think that's really, you know, it's taken me a while because I know that a lot of people go back and forth like, oh, you know, you don't want to shame your children into feeling like they can't eat, you know, this or that or whatever. But I think there comes a point where they just have to know, like, you can eat anything you want, but you are in control of how it's going to make you feel. And so this morning, my son woke up and I had to take him early to a welding class. And so I was like, hey, you know, I made breakfast casserole yesterday. I said, hey, there's some that egg casserole in the fridge, if you know, why don't you have that for your breakfast, and then he just like grabs a donut. I'm like, or a donut. I'm like, what are you gonna? He's like, I'm gonna do both. I'm like, okay, well, you're balancing, whatever. But letting go of those reins too as they get older, that's a whole different ball game. But well, is there anything in closing that you would like to tell my listeners? Any parting words about, maybe what you've seen with the people that you've worked with, or just your job or your journey in general, to give them some encouragement or some words of wisdom as we close out our talk today.
So I think I was recently was being interviewed by a friend of mine, and they had asked, like what's like the it was kind of similar, like what's like your key, what do you think is the one thing for leaders or they to know? And I think one of the big ones that I have kind of settled on is, this is a huge place of kind of knowing that is the idea that we should never let, our ambition in one area of our life compromise our purpose in the other area of our lives, right? And I think that's it's in alignment with what you do with all the things. It's like when we start letting one thing or ambition in a certain area take over, and then you hear stories all the time of people who are like, I wish I had done this differently, right? I wish, I regret this so much. Like I was just meeting with a friend, and they were going through divorce, and it was like, I wish I had made different choices, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I think that's so important, is it's not that, learning to say no doesn't mean we say no to everything, and it doesn't mean we say no forever. But understanding that when we live our life from purpose, I think it's so important. And if you're struggling to do that, just know that one, that's normal. You're not alone. I think most everybody struggles in knowing how to do that well. And then two, like reach out, find help, whether that's through, a coach or through a program, whether it's like, no, maybe I need a counselor or a therapist, or just reaching out to even the relationships and the people in your life of, hey, I think I need some help here, right? I need help with childcare. I need help balancing these things. Can we figure out something that would work better? There's so many different areas of place you can raise your hand and kind of invest in the places and the help that is going to help you to just live better and fuller lives, and show up in the ways that you really want to show up. So I would just say, don't let that compromise your other areas, and don't wait 5 years or until things are really bad to say, I think something's got to shift, or I think I need some help.
Great advice. Absolutely wonderful advice. And I look forward to having you back again at another time and talk about other things and collaborate. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time and your words of wisdom and just sharing, what you do and the purpose and all the things that you, and thanks for all the guilty pleasure stuff too. People like to know that. Thanks for being relatable. We
Same,
that's important.
same.
So,
Thank you,
thank
Kristen.
you so
It
much.
was so great to be here with you. And I look forward to coming back again soon. And just the conversation's fun. And so thank you for having me.